Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Today is our open phone portion, so call with anything you'd like to talk about, and we'll get you right up on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Our first caller is actually regularly scheduled, but I never know what she's going to talk about. And so we're going to say welcome to Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. This report, of course, brought to you as always by Hilbing Auto Body. When it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. How are you, Mary?
I'm wonderful. Quincy Community Theater, they can't have stage shows, but they can do virtual and Zoom shows, and they've got auditions coming up.
They do. In fact, more and more things are coming back in the entire arts community. So I want to kick off by saying please keep checking Arts Quincy on the website, on the Facebook, and listening to us here on Mary Griffith Show, because it changes by the day. They do have auditions coming up. They've had a virtual playwriting class for the very first time in the last few weeks, and now they want to bring those plays to life. So it's a really easy audition. It is virtual, so you make a Zoom appointment and audition for a part. And then they're going to do dramatic readings of these plays that local people have written. So really, really cool. No cost to be involved. There will be one or two rehearsals per show, and then do a performance in a sort of video chat platform that people can tune into. So
Okay. It'll
be a little festival of short plays. We're excited about it.
Well, go to 1QCT, that's the number 1QCT.org, to learn more about that. Now, one of the great things about Quincy Preserves, another great Arts Quincy member, is you get to go indoor and see their beautiful homes. But this year we can't do that, but we're going to have a Quincy Preserves downtown walking tour.
Yeah, you know, it's of course a bummer that we can't go in the homes this year, but that doesn't mean there isn't some amazing architecture to explore. And what's great is they're coming up with some really good information about the buildings themselves. So a lot of times you're looking in the home and in the interior pieces, but this time we'll focus on the exteriors during this walking tour and learn about the architectural styles that are out there. Of course, the tickets are going to be $10, which is less than normal. But that all supports the Quincy Preserves mission, which is preserving architectural gems of the Gem City. I actually just got to go through, if you tuned in yesterday to our tour of Washington Theater, you can see a really great example of what Preserves is about in the tiles around the exterior of Washington Theater. It was Preserves money grant that helped them restore and replace broken tiles and get that beautiful facade that you now see at Washington Park. So highly recommend joining for this. $10 each. QuincyPreserves.org is where to buy those tickets. And it'll still be a beautiful tour, and the homeowners are pulling out all the stops to make the homes look beautiful.
Okay, the tickets are $10 each. You must order your tickets in advance, and they'll be getting you to start at different places, social distancing. Go to QuincyPreserves.org. Lots of summer camps and classes, the Quincy Arts Center, Community Theater, Public Library. There's a lot of things going on.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, things are coming back online in different ways, in person too. So Quincy Arts Center has lots of programs, and some of which you can pick up materials at the Arts Center, take them home, and then tune in for classes. So, like, they just did a really cool clay class for little kids. And you pick up the clay, take it home, make it, and then bring it back to be baked in the kiln. Quincy Community Theater has some limited numbers of classes for the summer, with enrollments of 10 or under, well, 9 or under because of the person leading it. But they'll have some classes in person available as well as online. And Quincy Public Library does have summer reading. We signed up just this week. So, so excited about it to keep your kiddo reading through the entire summer. Along with that, also don't forget J-Dub Academy is online, and we'll just keep updating as things are available throughout the summer.
Okay. Friday morning, June 5th, 10 a.m., Facebook Live Dance Lessons with Taylor Twiddell.
We are having so much fun with Taylor's dance lessons. Hope you are too. The number of people watching are growing all the time. Taylor is here for the summer. She is a college student majoring in dance. So she's doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday arts activities, but Mondays and Fridays are going to be dance because she's an amazing dancer. And they're easy, so it's supposed to be like a little fitness. You can do it with your kids, and just get up and get moving and think about dance in a new way, learn a little bit about different styles of dance. No special equipment required, and certainly no like advanced knowledge required. Just tune into Arts Quincy Live at 10 o'clock and check it out. And if you miss it live at 10, they are archived on our page as well. So you can always go back and pick up a dance lesson if your kids are like my kids and sometimes get the wiggles.
Okay. Another thing that's archived on Arts Quincy is the Facebook Live tours. Now, next Tuesday, June 9th at 10 a.m., I've got you listed as the Washington Theater.
Oh, no, sorry about that. That was a carryover typo, probably. We did Washington Theater yesterday.
I was going to say, I thought it was yesterday.
Yep, it was
What's
amazing.
What's next week?
We are going to the Quincy Public Library next week.
Oh, okay.
So we will be going to the library with former Arts Quincy employee extraordinaire, Burgundy Ramsey Hill. She's got married since then. And we'll be talking about what the library is able to offer right now, but we're also going to get kind of a behind-the-scenes look at places in the library you may not know about. So some of the sections with books, reference books that you can't take out of the library that you have to look at there. And we might also touch on the architecture and artwork in the library, too, and learn a little about the murals that are there and all of that. So looking forward to that one. It is Tuesday at 10. We're going to continue tours. We're kind of doing a shift into not just historical site tours for the summer. So we'll do a lot of partner org tours and learn more about places throughout Quincy that you may not know about. And I promise there'll always be at least a nugget that you didn't know to take away from these cool tours.
Okay. We also want to say that our friends in Hannibal have they're still practicing social distancing. They still want social distancing, but they're more wide open than Illinois. And so they're going to start back with their Music Under the Stars summer concert series Thursday night on Hill Street in front of the Mark Twain Home from 7 to 9. Stepping Back is performing. And, again, a great thing for folks up here to head down to Hannibal.
Yeah, Mark Twain Museum does a great job with these, sort of like Blues in the District if you haven't been to Music Under the Stars. Come prepared to, keep in your little family group and keep a nice distance. But that hill is nice and large and I think is plenty big to keep a safe social distance. They are, again, kicking off this Thursday, and it's Thursdays through August there on Historic Hill Street. I should say Blues in the District for the 22nd will be Blues from the District once again, broadcasting live from Washington Theater. But we're kind of staying tuned to see what happens after that particular concert, and maybe we'll be doing the same thing, social distancing in Washington Park.
Okay. Well, you've done a great job, as I say, Laura. And, again, those who didn't hear it last week, the Quincy History Museum right across the street from WT80 at 4th and Main got a $1.5 million grant, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, and they're going to be using that to build an elevator and to restore that building and to maybe make an addition in the future. So just go to artsquincy.org for everything that is happening. We thank you so very much, Laura.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. It's time for open phones. We promised them. Nobody's dialing yet. So I just kept talking to Laura, because I'll talk to anybody. And that's the truth. I will talk to anybody about anything. So call right now at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. There's lots going on, and there's lots of good things that are happening as well. So good or bad or indifferent, we want to hear from you. And here's the latest that I heard. You get these emails all the time. June distance brings December existence. So a little message for social distancing there. We'll be right back. Hopefully you'll be calling. We've got one phone line ringing. Keep them ringing, folks. We'll be right back. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. And we have a caller who's waited patiently. Thank you for your patience. You're on the Mary Griffith Show. And what is on your mind?
Hi. I'd like to say that I enjoy Frank Fridays. I love to listen to Frank Sinatra. He's not my favorite. Elvis is my favorite, but I really like Frank Sinatra, and he has so many good songs. And one of the songs I like is "Making Whoopee."
Okay.
And if Steve would play that sometime, it's a good song. I think everybody would enjoy it.
Well, I tell you what, Steve is totally in charge of song selection, but he's very wants to please his listeners. So I will tell Steve that there's been a request for making Whoopi. And we'll see if we can make Whoopi on a Friday morning with Frank. And maybe we'll even convince Steve to have another morning that can be Elvis.
Oh, well, that would be nice.
You know what? Here's a way to make sure that happens. Sponsor the morning with Elvis. You know, send Steve a check for $1,000, and I guarantee you, you can hear an Elvis song whatever day you want, okay?
Probably not.
Well, anything else on your mind?
I just know that they've been having problems in Bloomington like they're having everywhere else, and they've destroyed the Target store and the Walmart store and the Kohl's store, and I just can't believe what's going on. I hope they start arresting these people and putting them in jail for a year or so, and maybe they'll think twice before they do it again.
Well, we can be thankful it hasn't hit Quincy, although social media rumors abound. But let's keep our fingers crossed, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for your phone call, and we'll make Whoopi, hopefully, one of these Friday mornings, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so very much. See how simple that was, folks? Anything you want to talk about, that's what we want to talk about. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, 223-9300, and 1-800-228-9823. If you've never called before, that's okay. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to dial the phone. Now, I came across something that is interesting. I don't say I adhere to this, but I know a lot of people out there are very into Nostradamus and his predictions. Well, according to the internet, which how could information be wrong from there, right? According to the internet, in 1551, Nostradamus wrote this: "There will be a twin year from which will arise a queen who will come from the east and who will spread a plague. In the darkness of night on a country with seven hills, she will transform the twilight of men into dust. It will be the end of the world economy as you know it." I don't know if they had the word world economy, but here's the translations. The twin year is 2020. The queen is Corona, which is the word for queen. The east is China. The plague is the virus. The country with seven hills is Italy. They'll transform men into dust. That means dying, returning to dust. And it will be the end of the world economy as we know it. So I don't know if Nostradamus used words like world economy, but that's according to the internet. So take that for what it's worth. We have a great caller who has waited patiently to get on board. What's on your mind on the Mary Griffith Show? Okay, apparently they weren't ready for us, so we'll put them on hold and see if we can go to another caller. Let's see if we can get them on hold. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to pick up on something the first caller had to say about the social media thing. I saw on the webpage, WTAD webpage, about that, you know, a black minibus, and they go on social media and say, you know, the police need to get these, whatever they said, white supremacists out of town, and they're actually starting the problem. You know, by doing that, they didn't know who that person was and that he had a son, I guess, that was handicapped in some way, and that's why he had that little minibus or the van or whatever
right.
it was.
But what
they're doing is going online and then, you know, social media, whatever it is, and then saying this stuff without any real information, without calling the actual police, and just spouting this off, and that gets everybody else, like,
right.
Oh, no. Are they coming
yeah.
here? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, right.
Let's board up the stores.
Well, of course. Okay, let's talk, because you're a rational person, and I'm going to enjoy this conversation. This morning, this is what WTAD News reported. We reported
right.
from Adam Yates, who's an authority with the Quincy Police Department, the assistant chief,
yep.
that they're, of course, concerned and aware of what's going around, and they have to be prepared, but they have no reason to believe it's truthful at all.
Right.
So, and Hy-Vee made a corporate decision, Farm and Home made a corporate decision, and I guess Lowe's made a corporate decision, or somebody else made a corporate decision, to board up because of what's been happening in Champaign, Aurora, Bloomington. And
right.
so I can't blame them for doing
no,
that.
I, I don't blame the corporations for doing it. I understand that. I'm just saying that the person that made like that one social media post didn't know what they were talking about. Basically made something up because they had no idea what they were talking about. And that can start actually more problems than it should.
Well, don't you think that's true of Facebook and social media in general? I mean,
I am not on any one of them because I do believe you are right. Yes,
I'm not on them either.
And
to tell you the truth, I haven't been on WTAD's page, so I don't even know what you're talking about because I don't, I don't post there. But we try very much to put on.
I like the news that you gave me, but I was just like, this is what's wrong. We don't have any rioting here in town.
Right.
We're kind of separated from all that. We have a wonderful police department. I know many of them. And then for somebody just to make up something basically.
Yeah.
And then post it, and that starts, more problems. You know, if you think there's something wrong, well, just call 911 and say, hey, I think there's something wrong over there, and they'll handle it.
Right.
You know,
right.
you don't need to post something that's fictitious, basically.
Right.
I agree.
I think this is the problem. As a news reporter, like this morning, I thought, should I even run that story? But I could run a story every day. For example, this could be our lead story at WTAD. A report came out that there was an alligator attacking people at 4th and Main.
I saw that one.
We asked Quincy police and they say they've heard that rumor and they're monitoring the situation. So, you know, the media can contribute, and I was maybe part of the contribution this morning. But when people see windows boarded up, it's actually happening. So I felt compelled to report on it.
Well,
but you,
I understand.
I'm totally on board with you.
I understand you're reporting on it, and I like you reporting on it because it kind of shows that, it shows that, hey, maybe don't be just making stuff up on social media because then it turns into something.
You're right.
You know, it's more of a teaching lesson, like, hey, this knucklehead just made something up, and now we're all talking about it when it was nothing.
There's only one problem with your premise, and then I'll let you go. Knuckleheads don't listen to WTAD. Okay,
That's the problem. Bye-bye.
You have a great day. Wow, what a great caller. I like that a lot. Let's see if we can get this caller back on the line. Are you ready to talk on the Mary Griffith Show? I hear the sound of silence. Apparently not. So we will take a quick break. Phone lines are open. 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Dial immediately, and you can be next up. We're back at Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The phone lines are open. We have some available space. We have one caller waiting, and it's 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. What did you want to say on the Mary Griffith Show?
Yes, good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Mary, what's going on now reminding me back to my childhood. We grew up, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a household that a lot of things were none of our business. And even, you know, when they talked about the bomb, they would whisper, you know, they didn't want us to worry about the bomb.
Right.
And I was born in the late 40s, and I always thought that the decades that followed were the greatest decades to grow up in. Now, like I said, at home, a lot of things were none of our business, but once we got to school, especially when you hit junior high, teachers always back then, they thought we were too sheltered. I remember my seventh grade English teacher discussing a little bit of the Holocaust with us, and they would do things like that. And
Are you saying that we're exposing our children to too much?
Oh no, I was always grateful when they did because maybe they was right. Maybe we were too sheltered. We should have been exposed to more of what was, you know, what about you could be in you could be in math class, and the teacher would start discussing, you know, start discussion about maybe the week the riots over the weekend, you know, things like that.
Right. Well, I mean, okay. It depends on what the teacher, I mean, I don't know if I want a teacher discussing things with their point of view. I mean, you know, I think that's a family obligation.
But
I mean,
that's just what we grew up with in the 60s.
Well, I understand. Well, I remember watching the riots. I remember the Watts riots on TV.
But
I remember that.
They always thought we were too self-absorbed, and they thought we were too sheltered.
Okay.
And they, you know, they didn't want us to be the me generation. Think about what's going on around you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your phone call.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Wow. Great, great topic. Interesting. Of course, I'm older than the average bear, but not older than some of you out there, I know. I remember the Watts riots very well, and I remember, now this is the mind of a white child, you know, a sheltered white child, as he says. I saw the burning and looting, and I said to my parents, I said, why are they burning and looting their own neighborhood? Why don't they go to a white neighborhood if they don't like white people? Of course, that conversation was quickly quelled in our house. My dad didn't want to get into that. My mom didn't want to get into that, but now things have changed. Now when burning and looting goes on, it's the Macy's department store that gets it and the Target that gets it. It's not the neighborhood. So, interesting. Were we too sheltered? I don't know. Nowadays, it's hard to be sheltered. I don't think a child can hardly be sheltered nowadays unless you don't have a television, radio, or computer in your house. So what do you think about that? Some funny things, because we can talk about something more humorous if you'd like. These little jokes that I get over the internet. Folks told me all I needed to go to the grocery store was a mask and gloves. Boy, were they wrong. Everybody else had clothes on. Ba-dum-ba-dum. As summer arrives, do we dig out shorts or do we just cut the legs off our pajamas? Since so many of us have just been staying home. And coronavirus. Keep a 6 feet distance. No hugging, no kissing, no social interaction whatsoever. It's kind of like being married, but without a cough. Okay. With that in mind, your phone calls are welcome. What would you like to talk about? 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Dial now. If you wait much longer, I can't guarantee that we'll be able to get your comment in. Maybe you want to shout out something good that's happened. This would be a great place to say that. And we thank our callers for calling in. 223-9300 is the number. And this person, I can't remember if they're a man or a woman, but they've been waiting patiently. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mary. It's a woman. the last gentleman was talking about the riots, and you were talking with him about the riots in the 60s. Well,
right.
You know, they say that President Trump doesn't have the right to call out the militia or anything like that. Well, that's exactly what they've done in the 60s with all of that racial rioting going on.
Wait a minute. You may have your facts wrong. The National Guard is called out by the governor. The United States military is called up by the president.
Correct. That is correct. And I'm saying is that he doesn't have a right to do that, but he does because I was with my husband in Fort Bragg during that time, and his unit was called out to Memphis when all that rioting was going on down there to protect the colored people for going to go to school and that. And it's just kind of interesting how they think things has changed since at that time.
Well, let me ask you this, because you have a military background, so I'm fascinated by your point of view, because a lot of people don't have an informed point of view. This protecting African-American children who are walking to school is a little bit different than standing in front of the Macy's when a whole bunch of people wielding baseball bats come towards you. It's not right to do that. It's not right to break into stores. It's not right to riot and loot. But remember Kent State. Would your husband have been willing to put that rifle up to his shoulder and take the life of a fellow American over property damage?
That is what they're trained to do. They become automatic with that, and they do what they're told to do.
Even a fellow American.
Okay. I mean, you were talking about that was different. No, it wasn't different. They had ball bats. They fought, and they rioted. They actually beat the kids up. And that's what the military was there to keep them from doing that, you know. And when, like in Fort Fayetteville, when we lived in Fayetteville,
mm-hmm.
you drive down the street, and my husband's sniffing up the air and stuff. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Roll up their windows. We're getting the hell out of here." He said, "They are shooting tear gas."
Right.
And you know, I mean, it's ridiculous that what they're doing now, because I think they're defaming the poor man's name
right.
by them doing that. And it's their right to protest, but not to destroy.
Right. The people that are looting at the Macy's and taking tennis shoes out of the Nike store don't give a rat's behind about George Floyd. Thank you very much for your phone call, because that's a very informed opinion, and it comes from a basis of personal knowledge, and I really appreciate you calling. I really do. Thank you so much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. We'll keep going, and we'll just head on to the next one. Let's see if I can get the next person up. Da-da-da. You know, I have so much trouble with this phone system. I don't know what the heck is wrong with me. There we go. I think I have them on the line. Good morning. I hope you're on the Mary Griffith Show.
I sure am, and thank you for having the service. It's really much appreciated. There aren't very many positive things about this virus. But I think one is that parents are having to get more involved in the education of children. And I think with all the things that are going on out there, I think we're finding out just how important a proper education is. Because I think since about 1970, I think we had real good golden years of education between Sputnik 57 and Neil Armstrong landing on the moon in 69, where everybody put their left, right, red, blue stuff aside. And said, "Hey, we're afraid the Russians are going to put a satellite up there or something up to space and nuke us from space. And we've got to live together and get along in spite of all the problems that we had in the 60s, 70s, et cetera." But I think that's, and before, and I think after Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, they said, "Okay, we don't have a threat anymore." We started gradually growing away from each other. And I think now with people having to get involved more in their education, they realize just how important it was. I mean, Thomas Jefferson basically said, quote, "Educate and inform the whole mass of people, enable them to see that it is in their interest to preserve peace and order, and they will preserve them, and requires no very high degree of education to convince them of this. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty," unquote. And I think that's something that we lose, that we don't realize how important education. You can see it in the textbooks too. When I was in school, they wouldn't dare put a quote of Wilson introducing the Constitution. I mean, he didn't really like our founding documents that much. And basically have a quote from him basically saying that the best thing about the Constitution is it was flexible. And this was the opposite of what the founders believed. Founders believed that the greatness of the Constitution was really hard to change. You had to go through a lot to amend the Constitution. And we had some very important and a lot of good amendments on it. But I think we're just the way we're teaching our children, and I think now, because of virus, parents are actually having to look at the text like, "Oh, my God, look at the biology book." When I was in school, basically you had a choice, XY or XX. And you look in the biology book and you see how politicized it is, there's about 18 genders.
I think parents are getting more involved. And I want to give you a message, because I won't say your name, but I know who you are. You don't like our American stories, but they have done stories on the Federalist Papers. And they've done lots of stories about wars that Americans have fought and war heroes. And I especially was listening one day when the Federalist Papers were being discussed, and I thought, oh, I hope he's listening. Maybe he'll like American stories. So,
well, I appreciate you pointing that out to me. And Mark Levin often does cover the Federalist Papers, but I'm going to have to listen now more to pick that up, because I know they had a good story on Brett Favre not so long ago, and I have to pick that up.
Well, thank you very much for your commentary. We appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Somebody who says that we ought to get more involved. All parents ought to be more involved in their children's education. And, you know, that's probably true. And maybe this has been one good thing that comes out of it is, you know, parents are teaching their kids from a point of view of This is why we have to know about history. This is why we have to know about things. I can't imagine, you know, we only see the world through our own lens. I mean, I can only see the world through my lens. I can try to be empathetic to other people. I can try to be sympathetic with other people. I can try to educate myself to a point of view. But I have to tell you, as someone who has worked with African American people as my coworkers, to hear them still say that they're stopped at night, you know, what are you doing? Driving while black, walking while black, yes, in Quincy, Illinois, yes, in Hannibal, Missouri, it's disheartening. And it doesn't happen to me. And so I don't know what's going to take to change it, because we all have our prejudices. But let's hope that out of this latest incident can come some reform. Because the other day I watched, you know, thank goodness for the media, I will say they're trying to show what's happening. You can interpret it however you want. But an officer knelt on a person's neck, and the crowd yelled, and his fellow officer took the knee off the neck and put the knee in the middle of the guy's back, still allowing the violent protester to be subdued, but not to the point where they couldn't breathe. So maybe some good will come out of it. Your phone calls are what it's about, not my opinion. So call me right now at